And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hello, friends, and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is week 7, and we got some ranks for you. I am Chris Welsh. That is Brandon Funston. And in the background, in the shadows, is the ghost of Jake Seeley, who is here in spirit because his ranks are the topic of conversation where Brandon and I, every single week, we just try to disagree with Jake. We look at his ranks, which you can get over at The Athletic. We pick apart where do we agree, where do we disagree, whether it's higher or lower. That's what we're going to be looking at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, little tight end sleeper from Brandon. We got you covered on all the week 7 ranks. And if you guys want to pick up a subscription, go to theathletic.com right now. You can search in any of the fantasy football, search in Jake Seeley, any article really. You can click on, and that will prompt you to get a subscription today, which I highly suggest you do. The waivers, the ranks, top-notch, best in the industry. You also want just a direct link to it. Go to All In Kids Twitter, and then just click on the link. You can sign up today and get access to both, which are invaluable, just like Brandon Funston, one of my favorites. Brandon, how are you, my friend?
Oh, man. I'm doing all right. Just trying to decipher this crazy week 7, 6 teams on bye, so many injuries to follow. We're going to talk about ranks and who you should start and who you shouldn't, but really if you have an able-bodied player with a heartbeat, you're probably going to put him in your lineup this week.
It stinks. I've talked about it in a couple different spots. It's good and bad. As you said, like, there might not be a whole lot of decision-making. You might have to come to some really difficult mere face-to-face decisions of being like, okay, I am starting Zach Evans this week. Like, you might have to do that, but it also stinks when you're when you're trying to be like, this guy can beat the expectations to here. Like, as I've been saying, I feel like it's very chalk. It is the RB1s or RB1s, the wide receiver twos or the wide receiver twos. I don't know where the big variance lies outside of being able to justify it. Like, there's going to be guys. There's going to be a guy that, you know, that's in the 40s or 50s that's going to produce as a wide receiver too. You know, it might be a guy like Josh Downs, but finding the big justification for them, I think, is tougher. And trying to get sneaky about it, I really had a hard time with. That also is making, that's not what this show is, but the betting market's kind of more difficult as well. I think they're holding back some numbers and there's not as many great options. And some of the early line stuff jumped out. It's a little bit more difficult than I wanted it to be. So we're just bemoaning.
I mean, we can pivot to
an
NFL betting show if you want. I'm in the same boat. I'm surfing, looking for those player props and being fairly impatient here on a Thursday, waiting for some of these numbers to drop. So yeah, they're playing coy with us right now for sure.
And also, you and me should. We should present that to The Athletic. I think you and I would do great with that. We love talking about props with it. I've been like, and by the way, if you're not a bettor, one thing I'd always point out, I think is a fun anecdotal thing. If you want to move yourself outside of even just, you know, consensus ranks or even Jake's for all that, go and look at what Vegas has on your guys. You know, yeah, that can be a big tell. You know, plenty of players, you'll hear analysts be like, oh, this guy's going to have a big week, and it'll be like 46 yards receiving prop. You know, Jordan Addison yeah, was a big stink for me last week. But then you might be on the fence about how chalk is a certain player. Like, Brandon Ayuk is someone I love this week. I love Brandon Ayuk as the number one target. I think the 49ers are going to get back to passing. You can pass against the Minnesota Vikings. Number one wide receivers do well against the Vikings. And Ayuk typically opens, if you pay attention to the receiving yard market, he opens somewhere between 48 and 56. That's where it's been all season long, sometimes better for worse. 65 he opened up. That's the biggest number he's had yet, and it's only going to move up. So my point is sometimes these markets, when you pay attention to what the props, the receptions, and the touchdowns are, might give you a little slight edge if you are deciding between some of the ranks. That's what's fun and why some of us can succeed in the prop market.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And a lot of times, main running backs will have a rushing plus receiving yards prop. So you can see what the upside is for total yardage, which we care about in fantasy an awful lot. But I'm surprised they had an Ayuk already, given, the 49ers injury situation. It looks like things are trending in the right direction for CMC and Samuel. But, usually when there's big injuries hanging out there, they'll hold back on team offense player props, until they have a little bit better guidance on that.
It was literally like 2 hours ago that it just dropped. It literally just dropped. So it, like, they slowly kind of trickle out. But, sometimes that's a little bit of an edge if you want to pay attention to that. But we are obviously not here to talk about player props in your betting. We're here to talk about the guys that you want to start, the big plays for the week. Let's go through a couple pieces of news. There's some interesting quarterback stuff out there. This just came down like 17 minutes ago as we're recording this. Jimmy Garoppolo is officially out for week 7. This is according to Adam Schefter, that he is not going to play. The only thing we haven't heard, though, is if it is going to be Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell. I kind of feel like it would be Aiden, but I wouldn't be surprised if they threw Hoyer out there.
Oh, I thought I saw the news that it was going to be Aiden O'Connell if Garoppolo couldn't go. So I don't know that officially. I thought I saw that yesterday, that someone had revealed that was the way they were going to go. I kind of hope it is. If you have a Devontae Adams, like, I think O'Connell in his only start targeted him like 12 times. So there's that. But I mean, I think we know what a Brian Hoyer offense is going to look like. It's going to be very milquetoast. And,
which is good for a guy like Jacoby Myers. I mean, I think short yardage type of guys, Jacoby Myers receiving prop. Again, that was a good one last week. That's another one of those where it's like six to seven catches is probably in the books for Myers, especially.
And you're probably going to see another one of those 25 carry, 3.5 yards per carry kind of Josh Jacobs games if you have Brian Hoyer in there as well,
And it's a great matchup for Jacobs this week. It's a very, very good matchup, receiving and rushing. He's ranked very high in consensus ranks, as he should be. That's going to be a guy that you're going to want to target, but really weird there. The other one was Kyler Murray was lifted from the IR and is practicing. And the report is, actually a friend of mine I used to work with, Mike Jarecki, who covers the Cardinals out here, said that we could be seeing him within the next 2 weeks. He could be out in game action, which I don't know. It shouldn't be surprising because this is what was laid out to us maybe a little bit early, but there's some little part of me, cohort Scott Bogman had mentioned, I kind of thought he might never play this season because if he gets injured again, that contract is completely guaranteed. So it's a weird situation, but would up the value if he is back out there, we'd assume, on some of the fantasy options like Marquise Brown and maybe even to some of the running backs as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I always wondered in the back of my mind, is it really realistic that they would redshirt him for a year? I assume that brings up potential player, NFL Player Association grievances. If a player is completely healthy, he's known to be their franchise quarterback and they're purposely, keeping him under wraps. I don't know if they can legitimately do that. So we'll see. I mean, who knows? I mean, I have no idea what Arizona's plan is here. If Kyler Murray comes back, it hasn't been a great quarterback year. He'd certainly be interesting, he was always a top 10 guy. And this year, especially, I think you would have to kind of, if he's going to come back and be the Kyler Murray he was, even with the warts, he's probably a top 10 quarterback.
I agree.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Couple pieces on the running back news. We know there's going to be no Kyren Williams. Ronnie Rivers is out. As I loosely mentioned, Zach Evans looks like he's going to be the go this weekend. Royce Freeman was also activated from the practice squad, and they signed Miles Gaskin. Are you going to have interest in Evans this week?
Yeah, actually. I mean, I think I would. I would consider him. I did end up picking him up on one team. I think I'm going to be playing him in the flex. Pittsburgh has been a good matchup for running backs. Are they going to be able to get Royce Freeman up and running with a big workload, or Miles Gaskin with a big workload right away? I would think that Evans probably is looking at least a dozen or more touches. So that's, to me, at least flex worthy.
I have this sneaky suspicion that Royce Freeman is going to get annoying run this week. Like, it might be early down stuff, and maybe it's split series because they don't want to throw Evans into a full workload. Not saying it's going to happen, but I just have this sneaking suspicion that Royce is going to kind of downplay some of the upside that could be there. Couple other running back pieces. Roschon Johnson still has not cleared concussion protocol. So you're going to have to be on the lookout for that. That's not good. Deontay Foreman did pretty much nothing. But Roschon, the expectation is he's going to be taken off and he'll be the lead guy, which is going to make him very interesting this week. Also, Jeff Wilson practiced in full and he looks like he could jump in. And I think what that does is it just takes us back to the Achane Mostert split carries. I think they'll do the exact same thing. I don't think Wilson will be explosive like Achane, but I still actually think this is kind of decent for Mostert, because if they do early down stuff with Wilson, putting Mostert in when a defense is starting to get gas is the best thing you can do with how explosive he is. But I know Jake is pretty into Jeff Wilson this weekend. Are you?
No, I mean, I don't like the guy who's been out for 6 weeks coming in and facing the Philadelphia Eagles, and we have no idea what his workload is going to be. Like, I just can't assume that we're just, I don't know. I mean, like, I'll play Mostert and I'll feel happy about playing him this week. I feel pretty certain he's going to get his touches, but I just have no idea on Jeff Wilson. And they, you know, against the Eagles, they could just sell out to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill in this game. You know, they have those games where they'll just dump the ball off on a bunch of short passes, and it could, you know, it's a kind of an X factor for me. I don't feel comfortable, like, just sight unseen following Jeff Wilson this week.
Yeah, because it's a bit of an unknown. We don't know exactly, like, how healthy is he? How comfortable are they? How much do they want to take Mostert off the field with how good he's been? That's a big question. That was an easier answer last year, not so much this year. Last on the running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs limited in practice. Craig Reynolds did not practice. Hoping that's going to change, because I actually think Craig Reynolds could be kind of sneaky this week. But Jahmyr Gibbs looks like he's lining up, as David Montgomery will be out. How high are you going to go on Gibbs?
Let me see. I have him ranked here. I should probably pull up my ranking so I can, you know, handle these questions as you give them to me. Where do you have him while I stall here? And
Jake has him at 14, by the way, and half PPR has got him right at 14. I've got Gibbs. I was actually on the wide receiver tab. I think I have Gibbs just a tiny bit lower. Actually, no, I have Gibbs at 15. Yeah, so right there as well.
My thing is slow, but I know I'm right in the mid teens as well. So I think if I'm not exactly the same as you or Jake, I'm like one off, but okay, here we go. So great, great podcasting here as you wait for me to surf to the running back position. I am. I'm actually RB 17. So,
so you hate him.
I hate him. Yeah, apparently. There you go.
But you know, I'm a little bit weary, because I need Reynolds to be healthy to go with this. I think they could use Reynolds in a David Montgomery like early down role. I think Gibbs will get more carries than he's used to, but I just don't think Gibbs takes the Montgomery usage. I think they will use Reynolds. So I think that can lop off maybe some of the huge upside So I actually think I'm probably more prone to move Gibbs down a little bit than up unless Reynolds is inactive.
I agree. I think they have a very distinct idea of what they want Jahmyr Gibbs to be. And I think that was the same deal with DeAndre Swift to, you know, the detriment of fantasy. But like they don't want Jahmyr Gibbs to be David Montgomery. I think they're fine with Craig Reynolds being David Montgomery and Jamal Williams. But that type of kind of like, you know, that hybrid sort of running back wide receiver athlete guy, they have different designs for them. And it's not to be the 20 plus carry guy.
Over on the wide receivers, just a couple pieces of news here. Diontae Johnson practiced in full. Pat Freiermuth did as well. So you got a couple receiving options returning as the Steelers are coming off of bye. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. I tend to think this will be Diontae Johnson leading the way as receptions, but it might open up some bigger, deeper threat opportunities for Pickens, which might be great for that offense to expand just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Do you have Diontae as a wide receiver two or like a high-end wide receiver three?
I have him as a wide receiver three. I don't think he may even have him as a high-end wide receiver three, but I have him as a solid wide receiver three.
So he's in that general area.
Yeah, I'm just looking really quick. I have him at wide receiver 35.
Oh, okay, so barely a wide receiver three. All right. And then finally, the wide receivers in Seattle, a little bit banged up. DK Metcalf had not practiced rib and hip injury. Lockett was also limited with a hamstring injury. Do you have any fears of either one maybe not going or being limited?
DK has been dealing with this stuff for a while, and so I don't think he's a worry. He's had the rib thing since like week two or something, so I think he's going to be fine. Hammy for Tyler, the one thing that might be interesting out of all this is if we get Tyler on a limited number of snaps, we get to see what JSN looks like on a more kind of featured role, and they need to get him going because we're almost halfway through the season. He's just been an ancillary figure in this offense.
Geno's also, I feel like he's played it safer than usual. Like I don't feel like he's very expansive. I think he's taken a step back on this team. He's ranked very high this week because of the matchup, but to like what you're saying, you get these weapons, you'd love to see him expand the ball more and like get it deeper, go to but it's just like, it's Lockett, it's Metcalf, Lockett, Metcalf. There just isn't, here's one to Bobo, here's one to JS. There's never a big explosive, let's get these three wide receiver, four wide receiver sets out, and let's move the ball to other targets. It's the same two guys every week, which has really limited the upside of JSN.
I 100% agree. I actually thought Geno was going to take another step. Like, it is like he's still kind of a newbie to being a regular starting quarterback. When he drops back, there isn't that feeling that he just knows where he's going, you know,
yeah.
Or that if he doesn't get his first read, that he knows, boom, you know, that he's been holding onto the ball a while. There seems to be some indecision there that I wasn't expecting from him. So I don't know what that is completely, but I don't see this next level of, development from Geno that I was hoping to see for sure.
And it'll be interesting where it changes. As we move in, let's talk about the ranks. We're going to start with quarterback ranks. And my transition is just to say Jake has Geno at 8 this week. And that's up against the Arizona Cardinals. It's a juicy matchup, if you will. And yeah. Geno, by the way, in consensus ranks 24 hours ago, was outside the top 12. Once people started submitting, seeing how bad this week is, how bad the fringe quarterbacks are, I think it pushed a lot of people to be like, Geno is a great option this week. So when we're looking at his ranks, just giving you guys a couple, Hurts, Mahomes, Allen, that kind of leads the top. If you're looking at the article, Geno is right below Brock Purdy. So 7 and 8, that's kind of an interesting group there of quarterbacks. That's kind of the market of where we have, but here's a big difference. This is your big difference where Jake has Jared Goff as a top 12 quarterback, a QB1 this week. And you do not. You are against the Jared Goff this week. So that's our big first rank differential. So let's hear why Goff is not a QB1.
Yeah, and you know, we say, oh, it's a 16 bye week. It doesn't really affect the quarterback market a whole lot because Joe Burrow is maybe the only guy, C.J. Stroud, Dak Prescott. That's the best of the best. Otherwise, it's Ryan Tannehill, Zach Wilson, and Bryce Young. Those guys don't normally figure ahead of Jared Goff anyway. So I'm down a little bit on Jared Goff because of some of the stuff we talked about. The entire backfield's injured. David Montgomery's out. Craig Reynolds hasn't practiced this week unless he practiced today, and I haven't heard about it. And Jahmyr Gibbs is coming back from a hamstring injury, is limited in practice this week. I know the wide receivers have been banged up. The offensive line is banged up. But you're going on the road and you're facing, to my mind, been one of the best defenses this year in the Baltimore Ravens, and especially against the pass, they've been very tough. They're the only team that allows less than 10 yards per catch to the wide receiver position in the league. So I just think Jared Goff, who his numbers overall for the season are bumped up by the fact that he has two rushing touchdowns. In the previous 2 years, he didn't have a rushing touchdown. So that is not like a bankable thing that you can count on from Jared Goff. You're not going to get a whole lot of rushing touchdowns. He maybe won't get another one the entire year. So just on the strength of his passing numbers alone, I think he's going to be outside the top 12 this week.
Yeah, I'm a little indifferent about him. I'm more on Jake's side as far as the rank goes, but I don't love the matchup. And yeah. I think it's going to be about like this team can't really run. And it would be about like, can they establish a run? They're going to be passing. It's the only reason I think he might be able to be extra sneaky as far as like putting up garbage time points or really just needing to pass the ball, whatever direction this game ends up going. Jahmyr Gibbs is better set, I think, out of the passing side. If Reynolds is banged up, that just leads to them throwing the ball a whole bunch more. I think Laporta's in a good spot. So I'm a little bit more on Jake's side on it, but I don't have a great feel for it. Now, I'd be curious where you are, because I've got a top 12 quarterback that Jake doesn't have, and I'm putting Kirk Cousins in at 12 versus 18 where Jake has Cousins in. And obviously the reason Jake has him at 18 is because it is against the San Francisco 49ers. And the 49ers have actually given up the third least fantasy points to quarterbacks in general. But you can't, unless you're the Browns, run against the 49ers. You have to pass. The weakest part of the 49ers game, I've said it all season long, is the secondary. What can the Vikings not do? Run efficiently. What do they do? Pass the ball in volumes. And that's what they're going to have to end up doing here. Third least fantasy points, but 49ers come in right in the middle as far as yards given up on the year with almost 1,300. Now, the reason why the fantasy points are down is because they have the most interceptions against quarterback. They've intercepted 10 total balls, but you can give up some bigger plays. I just think this is a spot where Kirk Cousins is going to be slinging. I think Osborne is sneaky this week for receptions. I think Hawkinson's going to get laid down a little bit, and I'm going to stupidly bet Jordan Addison again because the 49ers can be had on big plays. Their cornerbacks, Ward is all right. I think Ward will be locked up on Osborne. Lenore can absolutely be beaten deep. And the safeties on the Niners like to come in and play inside the box. And that's going to be more of a Hawkinson thing. So I like Addison more. This is all built around to say that I think the Vikings will be playing from behind against the 49ers and will have to pass the ball. This is a pure volume play. And he's a top 12 quarterback to me against the 49ers, who also showed some weakness on defense. But what do you think here, Brandon? This is a really tough matchup.
Yeah, I'm closer to you. I have him as my quarterback 14. And I agree with a lot of what you say. I was trying to find his splits for Monday night while you were riffing there. And like, I know he has a terrible primetime record, but I want to say that a lot of that has still been like big numbers, you know, like he, you know, if you're just counting wins and losses, not good. But as far as like fantasy numbers, I think his fantasy numbers have bared out pretty well on Monday night, but I like the Monday night home game. I like the extra juice that might bring to this Minnesota team. And I agree with what you said. I have no expectation that they're going to be able to run the ball. So even with Justin Jefferson out, they still have enough weapons there that Kirk Cousins can throw a lot of passes in this game and get you. I have him not quite as a QB1 this week, but I have him right on the outside periphery.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hey,
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, it's in that general range, but Jake is pretty far off. He's got him at 18. He has Daniel Jones and Russell Wilson both ahead of Kirk Cousins, which I don't. The Daniel Jones one is interesting. I just haven't trusted any of it, and I'm out on Russell. I don't see the scenario where I want to be playing Russell Wilson in any capacity. So it's, I think Kirk Cousins
He's in like a box of chocolates kind of place right now. Like, he's had some good games, but he had 95 passing yards last week or whatever. Like, you can get one or the other, and it's kind of hard to predict at this point.
I would rather start Desmond Ridder this week. I think he's a sneakier quarterback with how they've been throwing the ball. And number one, wide receivers benefit against Tampa Bay. And Josh Dobbs is someone that I kind of still dig. And Jake has it 15 this week. And he does have him over Russ. And that's one I agree with as well. Let's take a look at the running backs. Where do we disagree? The RB ranks for this week. Jake has got those up. It's half PPR. Christian McCaffrey is a kind of tough one for people. But Jake did what I did. Slap him at number one. Don't worry about, like, is he gonna, is he not? You just, if you assume he's gonna play, you put him there. A really interesting one this week, that which is kind of consensus, is Ken Walker against the Arizona Cardinals pops up at the very tippy top. But you've got a couple disagreements, and one of, actually, I'm with you on this first one. I'm a little bit indifferent about, but Isaiah Pacheco, you have at 6 versus 11 for Jake.
Yeah, either way, you have Isaiah Pacheco, you're playing him. First of all, I like the matchup against the Chargers, and my breakdown of running backs by fantasy points per touch, and yards per carry allowed, and the metrics that I put into it, the Chargers are the 10th best matchup for a running back. And I just like the way Pacheco's been looking. He's now dominating the backfield snaps, where early in the year he was ceding touches to CEH and to Jerick McKinnon, and now he's like doubling up their combined snaps at this point. They're really leaning into him. They leaned into him in the passing game last time out. He had six targets, six catches, especially like that against the Chargers. You look at the last two running backs that have made, starting running backs that have faced the Chargers, have both gone for 80 plus yards through the air. So I like the added upside for that. I think Pacheco's going to find the end zone at home in this game. So I'm factoring in a little gut touchdown feel for Pacheco as well. And then the other one who you alluded to as also liking is a guy that people haven't said anything nice about for a long, long time, and that's Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah, and we saw some signs of life last week at Las Vegas. 10 carries, 46 yards, 4.6 yards per carry, 5 catches. And I think the thing I like about it, other than the fact it's the Bills, which is funny to say, the Bills are terrible against the run for as good a defense as they are. They're really geared for stopping the pass, and they're giving up 5.2 yards per carry to the running back position. They've allowed 4 running backs to go for 90 or more yards. 3 have gone over 100 yards. So the other thing I like about Stevenson here is, as much as people want to talk about Ezekiel Elliott, he really hasn't looked better than Stevenson. He's looked more his age. And I think it's still kind of, even at this point, for as bad as Stevenson's been, I think we know that he's still the more viable back. And what, you know, people might be surprised to know is just a good matchup for him here.
Yeah, and I completely agree. That was kind of my take. I've been very worried about Stevenson and have kind of moved off of, like, really being able to start him. But I'm encouraged at this one thing. Rhamondre has received at least 16 touches in all but just one game. And in his last game, six targets out of the backfield. So they're starting to throw him the ball more, taking that off of Zeke a little bit. And as you mentioned, the yards per carry up against Buffalo is something you don't expect. They're also giving up 100 yards as well as 5 catches and 42 yards to running backs on average. And over the last 2 weeks, they've given up 4 rushing touchdowns to RB. So I worry because there isn't volume with Stevenson as much, but with the minimum of 16 touches and how much big play ability is there and touchdown equity might be there against Buffalo, this is a pretty good play.
My biggest concern is that Buffalo has one of those catch fire games where they put up 30 to 40 New England can do nothing but throw the ball.
But they may throw to Stevenson. That was why I mentioned, you know, the uptick in targets last week. I've been like, you got to reform this offense, and reforming this offense in my mind is built around getting Stevenson the ball. If you're going to get things right, and that's why even if you're behind, I think you could see some more screen plays out of Stevenson, and the ability to break big plays out is kind of what makes him kind of enticing. I think it's a riskier play because he has just been blah all season long, and Elliott has ruined so much of this as well. But yeah. I'm kind of with you on that one. The one I have a difference on, and I see why you could not be with me on this, but I'm not that into Jerome Ford. And Jerome Ford obviously is coming off of a good performance against the 49ers. Average almost 5 yards per carry, 17 rushes, 84 yards, caught a couple balls. All of that is great. This Indianapolis matchup that they've got coming up, it's not that great. It's like the 49ers situation and what happened to me was more of an anomaly. It was the worst defensive performance. They let themselves get run on. They couldn't hold the ball offensively. And we did see Ford get volume because they weren't passing the ball with PJ Walker. They were running both the backs. And that's a key thing for me as well here. Indianapolis is a bit also more stout. They've only given up 100 yards rushing once, and that was to the Rams. Otherwise, they're averaging 86 yards on 24 carries. That's under 4 yards per carry. And we saw Kareem Hunt get more involved. And guess what? Kareem Hunt looked good. Kareem Hunt was hitting holes. They trusted him in early downs. I don't think Jerome Ford is going to get RB1 touches this week. I think you're going to get more Kareem Hunt. And I also don't think that they're going to be super effective. So 15 is wildly high to me. I pushed him down to barely an RB2, and I don't feel comfortable about that. So I think Jake and I's perception is quite different. I know you could look and go, oh my gosh, most carries he's had, second best yards per carries he's had in a game. This is the turnaround. It feels like it's going the opposite direction if you watch that game and how Kareem Hunt was being used, because I think they're going to use him more, Brandon.
You're talking to the OH for the original hater, because I have been off of the Jerome Ford bandwagon from the start. So I actually have him ranked worse than you do this week. I am completely on board with you. I saw Kareem Hunt and I was like, there's going to be more Kareem Hunt because he did look good. And it, you know, probably going to take a lot away from him in the passing game, in addition to stealing 10 to 12 carries in the run game. So I'm with you. He's at the very back end. I think I have him at RB23. So I'm with you all the way on that.
Yeah. Also, you know, against the Colts, the way running backs get stuff done has been more on the receiving side. 5 of 6 games, they've given up at least 4 receptions to running backs, and that's Kareem Hunt's role. So I don't think you're going to have as much with Jerome Ford. So I, more than anything, even if you don't want to be like, oh, Jerome Ford's not going to be, it's just 15 is just way too high. So I don't like it. Maybe Jake will, you know, touchdowns and he'll reap the day, but I just don't quite see it. Let's go over to wide receivers. The wide receiver ranks, the robust, I found much easier in competing against all these ranks and looking and trying to find the values. Wide receiver was a easier pill to swallow. Jake has got Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp nearing the top. Brandon Ayuk is a top 10 wide receiver this week. You've got Devontae Adams in there. DK Metcalf makes it. And Puka Nacua even jumps in as number 11. So you've got 2 Rams wide receivers inside the top 12. Where do we differ? Well, as a wide receiver one, Mike Evans, actually, you had it at 13. It's actually up to 12 now, Jake has. But you got Mike Evans at 19. So that's a pretty big difference of a barely wide receiver two versus a wide receiver one for Jake. So let's hear where it differs.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think Atlanta, we have to give them credit as being one of the better defenses this year. I mean, they show up in fantasy as staunch against running backs and staunch against receivers. I look at their pressure percentage on quarterbacks. It's third best in the league behind Buffalo and Kansas City. And I think they just have a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball, and they're doing a great job. And Atlanta will hold the ball as long as they can by the ground game. So I don't think that hurts them at all either. But I look at Mike Evans the last 2 weeks, he's averaged 3.5 catches and 44.5 receiving yards, no touchdowns in that span. And so am I going to bank on him having a big wide receiver one upturn against a, you know, AJ Terrell and company who has been very good to this point? So I'm going to say no. I'm going to call him a wide receiver two, which I don't think is any disrespect to him, but I just don't know, based upon the recent evidence, why we would think he should be a wide receiver one this week.
Yeah, I mean, I continuously am more interested in Chris Godwin if I'm doing some of that, but I've got him. Where do you say you have him? You have 19. Him at 19. I'm in the middle of you guys. I've got him at 16 right okay. now. So, and I don't feel super enamored with him. Another one, Jake actually moved him up a tiny bit, but Terry McLaurin, you've got at 16. Jake's got him around 20 or 21 right now. It was 23. So he's made a little bit of a rank adjustment. What's got you positive on Terry McLaurin over Jake? Because he's got players he has above Terry McLaurin: DJ Moore, Tyler Lockett, Marquise Brown. Those are a few that he's got only above McLaurin right now. But you've got him at 16, which that would be on par with like where he's got like Christian Kirk and Devonta Smith.
Yeah, I mean, Terry McLaurin's looked good. I mean, two of the last three games, he's had 10 or more targets and 80-plus receiving yards. Even in the games when he wasn't doing anything, he was always pulling out Terry McLaurin, you know, a catch or two that was in classic Terry McLaurin go up and get a contested ball kind of style. But I think Sam Howell's starting to play a little bit better, and I just love the matchup against the Giants. In my ranking, it's the 9th best wide receiver matchup on the board. And so this Jahan Dotson's not getting much love. I mean, Curtis Samuel is disrespected. He's the number two in this offense, but I think the big playmaker is clearly all on Terry McLaurin right now. So yeah, I'm playing him as a rock solid wide receiver two this week.
Yeah, I'm really loving it. I actually got him in the guillotine league, if people are familiar with that, where like every week one team gets cut and all the players go on waivers. And it was one of those where the guy had a bunch of good guys, and I was able to swoop up 2 weeks ago Terry McLaurin for dirt cheap. And I'm now able to put him in the lineups, and it's been really beneficial. I'm in on Terry McLaurin. I've got kind of a weird one because I've openly just hated on the Falcons and Desmond Ridder, but things with Drake London are starting to change. And I've got Drake London as a wide receiver too this week, and maybe even a guy that can push a bit higher, where Jake has got London outside of the wide receiver two territory. It's not as big of a numerical difference as we've talked about. It's like 23 versus 27, but I think there's like a philosophy difference. What I've liked about London, 4 straight weeks with a target increase. Those have increased every single week. Over the last 2 weeks, he's had over 200 yards receiving and received 21 targets. I did a show with Jake on my show in this league, actually this week, and Jake was talking about how this absurd stat that he found, that the Falcons use 2 wide receiver sets at like a, I think it was...
Oh, I know it, because I edited the column. That was the one of the takeaways I had. I had to verify that stat was actually correct, because
47% is like number two who use 3 wide receiver sets, and yeah, and then that's the second worst. And Atlanta was like, what was it? Was it like
30% lower? Yeah, because it was a 30% difference between the lowest 3 wide receiver sets, which was Atlanta, and the second lowest, which was 47% by the Bills. I was like, wait, that's a really huge discrepancy between the last place and the second to last. I was like, so I had to go back to Jake and confirm that his numbers were correct. And he's like, yeah, that was correct. So that's insane.
So what that tells you is, you know, now in one wide receiver sets, they might use Mac Collins a little bit, but in 2 wide receiver sets, Drake London is always out there. He is always out there, and they'll use 2 tight end sets. And that bodes really well, at least for when they're throwing that he's out there. And that can be the big question. You're like, okay, well, they kind of stink and they don't. Well, here's one of the benefits outside of the target increase and the yards increase for Drake London. The Bucs actually give up big numbers to number one wideouts. Over four of the last 5 weeks, the Buccaneers have given up at least six receptions and 100 yards receiving to the number one wide receiver, the top billed wide receiver. And they've had a couple 120 and 130 yard performances as well. So they can be got on the wide receiver sets. You also can run on them a bit, which you've got Bijan and Tyler Algier. I actually think it's kind of a sneaky situation for Atlanta. And I think Drake London is a good get this week. So I've got him as inside the wide receiver twos, and Jake doesn't. Even though Jake had that stat, he still didn't fall in love with Drake London.
Yeah, no. To your point, I was just looking, and Drake London is ninth among wide receivers in total snap count. And he's been over 50 every game since the first week. So he was under in the first week and then over every game since. But Buccaneers, fifth best wide receiver matchup on my board. I like that call a lot.
Yeah, so let's go Drake London. Probably going to look at him in the prop market this week as well. You got a tight end sleeper for us this week?
Not great week for tight ends, but why not Taysom Hill? I mean, that I just mentioned about how Atlanta has been really good on D. That's maybe their biggest discrepancy there is their tight end allowance. But Taysom Hill's been involved in this offense one way or another. You know, when Derek Carr was hurt, he's throwing the ball a little bit more. Some games he's, you know, running a lot. Some games he gets like eight catches, you know, so it's like they're figuring out ways to get him involved. In a week like this, Taysom Hill's not a terrible flyer.
20 for Jake. So Jake does not agree. He's got Taysom Hill down at 20. I like your call. I also throw another one out there. I like Michael Mayer. He comes in at 15 on Jake's list.
Look good.
He looked good. He gets the target shares. If you got a guy like Hoyer's going to play it safe, and that is Mayer and Jacoby Myers. And I think also for rookie quarterbacks, tight ends are your saviors. And I think the offense wants to get him the ball quite a bit more. It's not the most resounding matchup in the world, but against the Bears, six receptions, almost seven if you round up, for 55 yards on average to tight ends, and he's the top billed tight end. So that might be one you want to look at as well. And that is it. That is it for the episode. Make sure to go over to theathletic.com. Get a subscription if you don't already have it. You can get the wide receiver rank, or all the ranks and the waivers. They're updated throughout the week. So you're going to want to check out the projections, all the other great stuff that Brandon edits, Jake puts out. You can check those out. You've also got, you got something coming out on Friday. I forgot. It's the trade target analyzer, right?
The trade value chart.
That's it.
Yep. So rest of season ranking / trade value chart, just to kind of give you an idea of where you can, you know, look to make deals and what you should be expecting in return.
Highly suggest you go and do that. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast right here for the two episodes we drop for you every week. Follow him at Brandon Funston, me at Is It the Welsh, and Jake All In Kid. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Good luck in your week 7, and we will talk to you next time right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.